Yep.
Oh, we have no battery?
No.
Yep.
Bottom button?
No, this one.
Yep.
There you be, sir.
Gonna have a lot of hits next night.
Kinda looking that way. I figured based on the letters we have. There we go.
One more thing I didn't do. Now what is that? Did I grab the wrong?
Pardon.
No, I thought I grabbed the wrong package.
Yeah, I get all mine in the same spot too. Easy to do.
What the heck?
Four, five, six, seven, eight. So we got a quorum. Take them in order.
Yeah, but mine is all in order. I dropped it today.
Oh. And if you take, do you have the agenda one?
Someplace.
That'll tell you the order.
Thanks. I don't know what for. All the letters. Thank you.
You can share mine, Mary.
Okay.
All right, good evening. It's 6 o'clock. We'll get started. My name is David Blumseth. I'll be opening this meeting of the Becker County Planning and Zoning and ask its members to introduce themselves, starting on my left.
Erica Jepson, Becker County Commissioner.
Phil Hanson, Becker County Commissioner.
Tom Dissey, Detroit Lakes.
Mary Seabrook, Erie Township.
Steve Lendo, Forest Township.
Kim Madsen, Comrade Township.
Tommy Eiley, Detroit Lakes.
Herbie Aho, Wolf Lake.
Jeff Moritz, Lake Eunice Township.
Kyle Harbert, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll look to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. Any corrections? Got a motion by Mary to approve. Do I have a second? Got a second by Harvey. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. All right, go over the protocol for tonight's hearing. We'll introduce any old business that was set aside from a previous meeting. We'll then introduce new business, which will consist of conditional use permits, change of zones, preliminary plot approvals. I ask the applicant to step forward and introduce their application. I ask no one in the general audience to direct any comments to the applicant without going through this board. Sufficient time will be given to those who would like to comment on the application. After all have spoken, we will ask the admin staff to read any written correspondence in our packets. Then we'll close testimony and the board will deliberate. This board is one of recommendation to the County Board of Commissioners. They will address these planning and zoning matters approximately at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday, May 5th, whatever.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Well, let me pull up the calendar here.
May 6th.
All right. I ask everybody to shut off their cell phones and we will begin.
Our first applicant of old business is Nicholas and Bessie Lewis requesting a conditional use permit for a retaining wall previously tabled from the September 2023 hearing.
Hi, I'm Nick. As Kyle said, we applied for a conditional use permit last year to build a retaining wall near our lakeshore on Federal Lake. Made some minor adjustments to that. We're not asking to dig as far down as originally proposed. All we're trying to do is build a little retaining wall to create a beach so that our young ones can enjoy playing next to the lake in a beach area.
All right, thank you, Nick. Any questions for Nick?
Are you working with a landscaper?
Yes.
And he hasn't got a better plan than this?
No.
Okay.
What else would you mean by yes to?
That's a little, I just don't, the size of the are you doing the boulders here?
Yep.
What size are those going to be?
They're, you know, boulders that we have on property, because we've got a billion of them. Mm-hmm. So rather than trying to get rid of those, just repurpose those.
And will you have fabric behind that, or what are you going to do there?
That's what we've done for a different retaining wall on the property that's not on the water.
Okay.
All right, any other questions for Nick?
Yeah, when I was out there looking, I couldn't quite tell by the drawing here which lot I was even looking at. Is yours the one with those new steps going down to the shoreline?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So the wall would just be on either side of the steps,
yeah,
going left and right.
Okay.
All right, any other questions for Nick? Right. Thank you, Nick. Is there anybody else in the general audience that would like to speak to this application? Anybody else who would like to speak to this application? All right. Any written letters or any other correspondence, Kyle?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. With that, we'll close testimony and open it up to discussion of the board. Any discussion?
I do have to step, let me finish this one.
What was he?
Are we going with that?
He said he has somebody that's working on a professional on there, because that's a steep slope to try and wrangle in.
Yeah, you don't just roll them boulders down one at a time without some equipment.
Right.
Kyle, were you on this tech panel where they're saying that they want a smaller area at the bottom?
Oh.
You weren't on that?
10 feet's not huge as far as depth goes. Are you talking the width?
Well, no, they're just saying on the
part where it just says to request to make a small level area near the shore. And I think, is that the part, that's the part that's in that drawing?
Mm-hmm, that 10 feet.
That 10 feet, yep.
Yeah, no, that's his writing, that's not.
Right.
That's not a recommendation.
Oh, and it wasn't checked, it wasn't, nobody went out on that?
I didn't go out there with them, no.
Okay.
I'm not saying, but that's not their.
That's not their recommendation, so. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion?
You know, Mayor, if they would have, it was 2023, I don't know.
Oh, that's when this was, this paper was from?
Well, the original application, we wouldn't have went back, so in 23, where we there, we could have been. I know, I've been on site, wasn't it? Did I bring anybody with me?
The place here, it looks.
Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the contractor there, but I wasn't there this spring, because I couldn't.
All right, if I hear no other discussion or questions, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I have a motion by Harvey to approve this application as presented, do I have a second?
Second.
Yep. Second by Kim. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote, all those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
First application of new business is Rory and Aaron Wolf requesting a preliminary plat for six lots to be known as registered land survey number 2.
Good evening, my name is Scott Wolf, I'm with Land Surveying, I'm here on behalf of Rory and Aaron who are present tonight. This is a subdivision of two separate parcels, and the three parcels each. The northerly three parcels, there is a bluff on what is shown as tracts A and B, the most northerly two parcels. And then there's also a portion of the bluff on tracts E and F, the most southerly two parcels of the southerly tract. All of them have an ability to get down to the lake without going down the bluff, except for the most northerly one, tract A. That one would have to install some steps in accordance with record from the ordinance. All the lots well exceed the minimum requirements for a lot on Rock Lake of 150 feet of shoreline and 40,000 square feet of area, and have more than the 8,500 square feet of contiguous buildable area. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Scott?
Scott, is this two plats or one? Since the lot in between is owned by someone else, right?
Well, it'll be one plat, but it is two separate parcels being split. But this will all be done on this, what's called registered land survey 2, which is a Torrens, how you subdivide land with Torrens property. So it's not just called regular plat. But see, it would all be done on just this registered land survey number 2 because he owns both parcels.
So is that middle lot that isn't owned by this group, is that platted then too?
Nope, that's just a separate meets and bounds tract.
Any other questions for Scott?
Yeah, on those lots to the north, there's three of them, A, B, and C, I think. How many of those needed some kind of a stairwalk or walkway down?
Just track A, the most northerly one. Just track A, the most northerly one. That's the only one that has bluff across the entire front. Track B has bluff, but on the southerly side there, it stops being a bluff and they can access the lake without going down the bluff.
Okay. It just seemed like all three of those were pretty steep in there, so yeah. Just thinking back.
Yeah, there's hill on all of it, but to meet the requirements of the bluff, it's got to be 25 feet high and a 30% grade, and it's only those four lots that have that. The other ones have steep slopes, but they're not bluffs.
They all have a buildable area.
Yes. The buildable area is shown on each one, but yes, they do.
All right, any other questions for Scott? Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this application? Anybody in the audience like to speak to this application? Any written correspondence, Kyle?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll close testimony on this application. Open it up for discussion of the board.
Meets all requirements. See what grounds you can deny it on.
I guess not. It doesn't hold up your look.
All right, if there's no other discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I got one thing. All along that shoreline, there's probably I'm going to say probably 10 feet of cattails, because it's really shallow. Is there anything that you would be concerned about with runoff or whatever, you know, how that shoreline is used, docks being put in and so forth, that you would have a concern with that vegetation?
The DNR regulates anything below the ordinary high water level, so any vegetation removal would have to be done in accord with a permit from them, but they do allow you to clear an area for access to your property for a dock and a boat and whatnot,
yeah.
But they wouldn't be able to clear the whole shoreline in front of them.
Okay. And for those people that are putting this in, they are aware of that, that they can't wipe out all those cattails, or they are aware of that?
I don't know who's going to own them, so that's hard to answer, sir. If they'd be aware of that or not. They should,
but it's,
I mean, the rules, there's just like knowing you have to get a building permit to build a building. Everybody should be aware that the rules apply to your property.
And that would be a DNR concern, because it's in the water.
Once you get in the water, it's DNR, yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
All right, any further discussion? All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion by Tommy to approve. Do I have a second? Oh. Got a second by Jeff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Next applicant is Foam Trust, requesting a conditional use permit to operate a nonprofit makerspace and wood turning school with an on-site hospital.
Good evening. I'm Susan Clancy, and I'm honored to speak with you on behalf of Jessica Edwards, the applicant and executive director for DL Makerspace. DL Makerspace is a nonprofit, community-driven space designed to empower individuals of all ages and backgrounds through hands-on learning, creativity, and collaboration. Our vision is to create and share environment and shared environment where makers, artists, students, and hobbyists can build, learn, and grow together. It's located at 13946 2260th Avenue. This space will include a fully outfitted wood shop, classroom area, and wood turning studio for artistic and skilled building retreats. We're proud to be partnering with local groups like Project 412, the Artist Collective at the Community Center and area schools to offer accessible classes, youth programming, and public events that bring people together. This is more than just a building. It's a hub for inspiration, mentorship, and community connection. Every decision from soundproofing and parking to lighting and signage has been made with respect for our neighbors and a deep commitment to bring positive, lasting presence to the Lakeview community.
Thank you, Susan. Is there any questions for Susan? Please stay up there. Bound to be a question. Yep, just stay there.
I was there and I spoke with the neighbor and she had concerns. It was also a letter about runoff in there. And the way that the lots are, it continually goes into that. And maybe it's sitting here and I missed it, but as far as there water redirection plan to try and keep that, trying to keep what rain is on your lot to stay there. I don't know if I made that, but
so,
I just know that there was concern about runoff with the rain.
For the rain?
For the, or get up with the parking and everything like that, because the one lot is sloped into the next one. And where the buildings are going in, it looks like they'll be cutting into a hill.
Yes.
Which would, so what I'm getting at is Have you had a runoff plan or anything like that to try and keep that on the property itself?
That I would have to have Jessica answer that question. I know as far as she wants to make everything so that it, how do I want to put this? She wants to keep all of the neighbors, she wants to keep all of the neighbors' concerns up front. And in the forefront of her mind, she wants their concerns met. So if that's one of her concerns, I could see her putting up landscaping so that is met. And I know she hasn't started that building. So if that's one of those concerns of the neighbors, she's going to put that into her plan when she builds that property to make sure that water is going to where it's supposed to go.
That garage that's already there, it looks like this 40 by 60 is going.
It's right. Going to go right in that same area. Yeah, it's going to go back a little bit. But it's good. She's designed her building to look very much similar to the house that's already there.
Yeah. So the new building, 40 by 60.
40 by 60.
Is going to be attached to the back of that garage?
No. She's tearing down the garage. And it's going to be down. In the same footprint, but just a little bit further back.
Okay. Yeah. As far as a water management plan, I'm not sure. Do we need to have something with this application as far as a water management plan and how they're going to handle that?
We don't regulate the water.
So we don't need that.
No, that's
we
not.
We can ask for a stormwater management plan included with that.
Right, we can ask for
a chance for that, and that would be realistic.
Yep.
Basically, just to show where the runoff is going to go, what might go in the ground, what would run off, or what could conceivably run off the site. Now in the strong enough heavy rain, they generally don't apply because they only apply for ordinary rain. It just ensures that the neighbors are protected and then the people, the areas that generate the runoff, try to retain the runoff.
Yep. She wants to make sure that she's following every guideline that there is out there. So
is that something that we should see before we vote?
No, tell them that they'd have to go in accordance with what they said, what they came up with.
So it would be a stipulation or something?
Right.
With that?
Oh, right.
All right.
Is there, how many people do you expect to be staying at the hostel or at the, what's the number of people we're looking at?
No more than 10.
No more than 10 at a time?
Per day, or per week, or what?
Per time, yeah. Yeah, class. She's looking at her school being no more than 10, and the school, if her students come, they can stay at the house, and that would be the amount that would be staying there.
So the house would be where it would be intended for people that are going, attending the
Her classes
to stay there. So are we thinking like high school students, college students, any age student, or just anybody?
It's not going to be just anybody. Okay. So if you're a minor, they're going to have to be attended by an adult.
Okay.
And then she's going to be there teaching, and the volunteers are going to be there also making sure that they're following what they're supposed to be doing.
So they'd be staying in the house with her?
No. They have the house. The
yep.
people will be renting, you know, a room in the house.
Yep.
But during the time that they're teaching, she's there watching. they'll sign a, you know, like you stay in a hotel, that type of thing. It's not going to be where anybody can just come and stay for one day and then leave. It's going to be for a period of 3 to 4 days.
And they have to be a part of this school mm-hmm. in order to stay there.
Yes.
So that hostel, can you, what does that mean?
I don't know why she put hostel. She said that would be in it, that would come up. I don't think that's a good term for it. What the house is going to be is a place for her students to stay when they come, because she's looking at bringing in people from all over the country to come and take her classes, and they need a place to stay. They can stay at her home, at that house, or a motel if they want. It's their choice.
How many bedroom home is it?
4.
So does that,
Mr. Chair? Some of the discussions we had on that tour, so number one, if there's an exchange of currency, it would be considered commercial, right? So then it leads into a multi-unit development. Given the amount of area here, there would only be 2 rooms permissible. So to exceed that, you would need a variance. The second item is there is a 6-acre minimum for a hotel, which is essentially a hostel. So there would be another variance required there if that portion were to proceed. Obviously, you can table that portion and act on the other portion alone, or you can act on both, but the hostel is there's some hoops to jump through there before that could probably be in place.
Some variances?
Yes.
Okay.
So would she be staying there also?
You would have to ask her. I'm not sure.
When can she be available?
Yeah. They are moving up here at the end of the school year.
So just so you're aware, you have the right to table this application?
Yep.
So that we don't have to act on it tonight? I mean, if you feel there's questions unanswered, just wanted you to know that that is your right. You can table this application, and at no cost to you but time, it would come back before us. So
that would be a good idea, because she could answer your questions a lot better than I can. I have what she asked me to say, but she knows it a lot better than I do.
Like I say, there's just a lot of questions, and I know we've received some letters. And for us to act, I can tell you we need some answers to some questions.
Yep.
But it's up to you. But you would have to say, I want to table this application before us to accept that. So.
Okay. Then I would like to table this application.
All right. So she's asked us to table, so we will table this. And you can. It doesn't have to come back next month. It can be 2 months from now, whatever you want.
Well, she would be ready by next month.
Yeah, just
because they're getting ready to, they're wanting to start to build right away.
Right.
So.
All right. So just communicate with Kyle in the office and their staff of when you want to bring it back. So he'll be in touch with him. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have her.
Yeah, you can have her call us.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Susan.
Okay, our third applicant of new business is Adam Williams, requesting a conditional use permit for mining operations.
Hi, I'm Adam. I don't know if I'm able to give you any handouts or not.
Yeah, if you have.
Okay. I only have 7 available.
That's all right. We'll share. So.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I am here today to explain my request for a gravel pit permit. Not as someone trying to start a commercial mining business, but as a landowner facing a practical issue with a realistic local solution. The property in question is muddy, hilly, and covered in trees. Much of it is not usable in its current state for any meaningful use. The uneven terrain and poor drainage make it difficult to even move around. To make it usable the traditional way, grading the slopes and hauling in hundreds of loads of fill, clearing trees would cost tens of thousands of dollars. That's not financially realistic, but what is realistic is using the gravel that is already in the ground to level out and reclaim this space. That's why I'm asking permission to open a gravel pit. The main goals are to create dry, level ground for storage and access, to improve the existing unusable land, and to supply gravel locally, starting with Thielen's Precast, a trusted business right here in our community. I'm also open to potentially supplying gravel for future local projects if the state, township, or county ever has a need, but I want to be clear, this is not going to be a full-time, round-the-clock gravel operation. I have no interest in selling to private parties off the street. I also understand and respect the concerns neighbors may have. That's why I'm committing to 100-foot setbacks, limited weekday, daytime hours, dust and noise control, and following all county and MPCA regulations. Once the work is done, the site will be reclaimed and put to good use with dry, level space that serves a real purpose for the future. No wasted land, no long-term disruptions, just practical improvement done the right way. I also want to take a moment to address a concern that's very important to both the community and myself, and that's visibility. I understand that nobody wants to look out their window and drive down the road and see an active gravel pit. I agree. That's why I will make screening and visual protection a priority from the very beginning. The proposed gravel pit will not be visible from the public roadway and will not be visible from the neighboring properties. Here's how we'll make sure of that. We will maintain and utilize existing tree cover to act as a natural screen. Where needed, there will be earthen berms, mounds of soil placed along the perimeter to block the view into the site and help reduce noise and dust. The screening will make the operation visually hidden, quiet, unintrusive to neighbors and passerbys. Additionally, we will be installing a security gate at the entrance that will prevent unauthorized access and keep the site safe and orderly. We will not display any advertising signage. The only signs that will be posted will be no trespassing signs as required for safety and liability. Any signage required by state or county regulations related to gravel pit operations. There will be no commercial signs, no banners, and nothing that changes the characteristics of the area. We're approaching this reasonably, not just to follow the rules, but to be respectful of neighbors, private property values, and keep the site low profile, clean, and controlled from start to finish. I want to be upfront about what this project will look like and, more importantly, will not. First, when people hear gravel pit, they often imagine a loud, dusty industrial operation. That is not what we're proposing here. Today's gravel operation, especially on a small scale like this, are much quieter and cleaner than they used to be. Equipment is modern and well-maintained, and there are strict regulations. Limit activities to normal weekday hours only, no evenings, Sundays. This is not going to be something that disrupts the neighborhood or fills the air with dust. As for the site plan, we intend to clear about 10 acres of trees, which will allow space for material stockpiles and an active mining area. 30,000 to 40,000 approximate yards of material will be put up for Thielen's pre-pass, which is estimated to last 3 years. The gravel crushing part of the work will be short term. As of now, we estimate the crusher will be on site for about 3 weeks total. It will only operate during business hours. When it comes to trucking, the main truck will be a semi with an end dump trailer, which handles most of the material hauling. We expect around 8 to 10 loads per weekday, depending on the demand. Occasionally, a commercial dump truck may come in for field sand or class 5, but this won't be heavy or consistent traffic. The scale of activity is typical of local material delivery and will spread throughout the day to avoid congestion and disruption. Again, this isn't a high traffic or permanent industrial site. It's a limited temporary use aimed at improving the property and supporting local projects and businesses, starting with Thielen's Precast. We keep it controlled, quiet, and considerate. In regards to groundwater contaminations, this is a dry pit, not a deep pit. Most gravel pits in Minnesota are dry operations, which mean they don't dig below the water table. This prevents interaction with aquifers and drinking water sources. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Questions for the applicant?
That crusher, you said 3 weeks total. Is that total what time frame?
3 weeks total from start to finish. From the time he starts crushing to the time he finishes project. He figures everything goes as time, if the time frame goes, and the materials are 3 weeks, he should be all put the 30 to 40,000 yards up.
Is that like per year?
That material there will last me at least 3 to 4 years.
Oh.
So it's one continuous run of about 3 weeks, and that'll put that up, and that'll about 3 years worth of product for you.
It depends on demand. I mean,
right.
It could vary a little bit up or down.
Yep. Other questions for Adam?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand this 3 weeks thing. So out of 3 years, you're going to go in there, and in 3 weeks, you'll be able to take out what you need?
In 3 weeks, we'll be able to crush what I need. We won't take it out in 3 weeks. It'll be crushed up into a pile.
Okay.
We'll have to crush the rock, separate the rock and sand. In 3 weeks, I'll have that much material I'll put up into a pile. It'll take me probably 3 years to use that amount of rock and sand and gravel.
So you're going to be in there working, getting the gravel, whatever, and the rocks out, and then you're going to come in and crush it.
When they crush the rock, it's going to be washed. And in my pit, I've got another pit in Becker County, which didn't have as much material as I thought it was going to when we drilled it, bored it, tested it. There wasn't as much rock there. Adam confronted me and said, I'm thinking about leveling off the land. So I said, well, just test it and see if there's rock there. So we went and looked at it, tested the soil, and there's plenty of rock there to do it. So what process is going to be is crushing it in this pit, hauling it to mine, and washing it in my pit, and then hauling it back to my pit mix.
Did you still have more questions on the time frame as far as what happens in a 3 week after?
Is the 3 weeks, is that kind of the end of the project? You're going to crush the rock and haul them out, and then you're done in there for the most part?
No, for 3 weeks, there's a crushing company that will come in with dozers and excavators and load their crushing machine.
Yep.
The crushing machine then stacks it into piles that is fairly separated for what Jason needs possibly. And then throughout the year, during the weekdays, Jason will come with a semi or one of his employees, load himself, head up to Jason's pit, offload, and come back. So it's about at least an hour turnaround time for that semi. So we're not running 20 trucks set back to back. This is one semi.
So you're looking at probably a truck every hour at the most on busy days. My hauling the rock back to my pit to dump, because it's an all-around trip with one end up, roughly.
You have a concrete plant where you mix gravel or cement?
Yep.
You have trucks going out?
Yep. That's right on Highway 71 North Park Road.
You're going to be coming out on Grant Street or Grant Road or whatever. Is that a township road or county road?
That's a township road.
Have you been in touch with the township about load limits, things like that?
I have not. I don't know that answer. I have not. My understanding, once weight restrictions are up, I didn't realize.
No, I'm just saying this is, you're going to have heavy traffic and unusual traffic. I mean, this will change the road, right? And that grant, how far do you have to go to get up to, it's like you go up to County 48?
I believe that's about 2 miles.
So it's Grant, and what's the other road to get to 48?
Brill.
Yeah. I suggest that you talk to the township and just make sure that road can handle your equipment. Because they will be concerned about it down the road if it starts wearing out.
Yes.
As far as that driveway goes, do you know where that's going to be? On the red square here?
I do. Can I show you or tell you?
Yep.
I know one of the letters we got, there was concern about how close to their property line you were going to be. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. I got to get a little closer. It's not very zoomed in there.
This one.
That one a little better.
There you go. Yeah, go ahead and use that one.
So it's going to, you want me to draw a line? Or,
well, I just.
Or just kind of.
Close. I'm okay. Curious.
It's right about here, and it comes down, and then it kind of curves and back down. And the reason we had to come in, one, we need a wider approach for the semi. Would you like me back at the podium?
No.
We need a wider approach for the semi because the road is kind of narrow.
So sure.
What, and then the way the land, so this is two big hills here, and I want to call it a ravine in here. So basically, it's a big bowl. The land over here isn't as aggressive as a pitch or angle, so it's less work to make the road going through here. And in this area, that's where the flattest ground also is to set where the crusher could initially sit, because right now there's no place for a crusher to sit. You know, it would need a pad. So that's why the roadway is kind of going in here.
So the question is there a driveway coming out of this person's property right here?
Yes, Brad's driveway is right on this property line right here by the blue. Okay. It's kind of covered up by the line.
Do you know how close you're going to be to that?
I don't know the exact distance, but well over 100 feet, if not way more. I never did measure it.
Okay, because I can't remember what. I thought it was somewhat pretty close, is the impression I had, but evidently it's
no, 100 see, feet away. So, yep, yeah. this is an existing one, and I may eliminate that and just kind of make my loop into this commercial one then. So, no, it's well away from his current driveway now.
Okay.
Could you add your comments on another drawing and maybe on the other end so they can see where...
What he's got on it? So you want to know where the driveway, like I guess, where's the land? Okay. Again, this is without having GIS.
Oh, I
know. There's that big old square. I can see that now. And then it will continue to County 48.
I don't know if someone
wants to ask. He drove on one here. We've passed it down.
Yep. So. Thank you. Pass it on, boy. Thank you.
Other questions for Adam or Jason? All right, thank you. You may have a seat. Anybody in the general audience to speak to this application? Anybody in the general audience to speak to this application? Guess we're all here for another application. All right. With that, obviously we received a little written correspondence. It was emailed out to us that we read through. So any others correspondence that was not sent out to us, Kyle?
No, Mr. Chair, I just want to know that Adam did provide us a fact sheet, like what gravel pits and land values in Minnesota that will be introduced to the record.
All right. Thank you. With that, we will then close testimony and open it up for discussion with the board.
I wish all the applications came with this.
Yeah, that was nice.
You did your work.
Yep. No, he did a nice job addressing concerns and well thought out and well planned. You know, nobody, as we've been on here a number of years, nobody really likes a gravel pit, but the gravel is where the gravel is. You can't mine gravel where there's not gravel, so.
Just for discussion, what about times? Just discussion.
Well, his application says 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
That's 7 to 5.
7 to 5.
The one here does, the one that he handed out.
And then Saturday is 8 to noon.
But his original application says 8 to 5.
Oh, sure.
Monday through Friday.
Oh, I was looking at this one.
Right, so there's a difference between them. So his application says 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Now,
better clarify that.
Adam or Jason, would you step forward, please?
Yes.
So we have your sheet you handed out Monday through Saturday. Your application is Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So what are the hours you're really looking for?
We're going 8 to 5. What happened was Jason filled out the app. I did this part. So there's a little missing.
Oh, so 8 to 5 Monday through Friday is.
Yes.
So, all right.
Thank you. I have a question for you, Adam, regarding the road, the township road.
Yes.
Obviously, the road restrictions are off, so you won't be using it when the restrictions are on, but I don't, are you going to check with the township to see if that road is worthy of hauling gravel?
I will contact them, yes.
Mr. Chair, just a note, every application we receive, township is provided.
Okay.
Every single one.
Thank you.
So they had an opportunity to see this and could have been here to address
every
it.
Every applicant that ever comes before you, we notify.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
I apologize about the timing.
Nope, that's fine. We just wanted to clarify.
That sounds right.
Yep. And with that, I make a motion to approve.
I got a motion by Mary to approve this application as presented. Do I have a second? Got a second by Harvey. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Next applicant, Brian and Marie Wilms, requesting a conditional use permit for cultivation, manufacture, and wholesale of cannabis.
Hello, my name is Brian Wilms. I am here on behalf of myself and my wife. She's also here. We are here about our application for a conditional use permit for a cannabis micro business cultivation site. The permit is for a small scale business to business agricultural operation without retail storefront. We will not be serving consumers directly and on site consumption and retail sales will not be prohibited at this facility. Operations on site will be limited to growing, curing, and packaging cannabis for wholesale purposes. Products will be sold in bulk to licensed processors and retailers only. The only traffic we expect to generate would be pickups from state licensed cannabis couriers and occasional deliveries. The facility will be located at our agriculturally zoned home parcel where we reside full time. It's common in our area for small businesses to operate from rural homesteads. The nearest neighboring homesteads are a farmstead, a dog boarding facility, and we also live down the road from the Animal Creek Quarry. This type of use is consistent with the character of our community. entire facility will be enclosed in a 6-foot security fence and privacy glass to prevent visual identification of on-site cannabis, which will already be inside a hoop house. There will be no outdoor signage. Our security and surveillance plans will less than easily exceed those required by the OCM. The growth space inside the fence area would be a 30 by 40 hoop house, which is approximately the size of a 3-car garage. Cultivation will take place only during regular growing seasons with extremely reduced operation during the off season. Plants will be grown in soil filled containers using the same type of organic fertilizer that you might use in a vegetable garden. All plant inputs, including pest management and fertilizers, are OMRI approved, which is Organic Materials Review Institute. Water use is expected to be in line with other plant nurseries of the same size. There will be no additional septic systems added to the property, and water will be sourced from a new on-site well. We have procedures ready to go for regular leachate monitoring, odor control, well testing, and stormwater management. We have developed a revised plan to address the 100-foot setback you guys are set to talk about. I printed up some maps just with an alternate location because the current one is like 25 feet from property line, and so with the 100-foot, if that goes through, then we will need to move or get a variance. So I do have copies of that I can pass out.
Please do.
I see him running.
Yeah,
I see him.
Yep.
So if I'm understanding correctly, currently it's 25
feet? It's roughly 25 or 30. I know with the stuff, like everything's required to be, like buildings are required to be, I think, 15 foot across the line. We meet all the other requirements as far as from schools or neighbors or any of that kind of stuff. So this one is just takes into account the 100-foot setbacks. The other one is here, close to the property line, so this is further from the property line.
So this one does meet the 100-foot.
Yeah, setback. That one is.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a slightly different size. It is a little bit narrower and a little bit longer to make sure we meet 100-foot setback on all sides. Just if that happens to go through, just fill.
And if it doesn't go through,
then it'll be the original one. The 60 by 70, that is.
If it doesn't go through, it's currently at 500 feet.
From residences, so no, it's 25 foot from our property.
Mr. Chair, he's been to the Board of Adjustments, the application was tabled.
Okay.
So if approved here, you just have to stipulate that either we follow that amendment or go back to them.
Okay.
We go back to them next week.
Okay.
You'll go prior to that though, because this will be after, the setbacks will be acted on at the next May 6th meeting. So,
May 6th meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, not at this meeting?
No.
It'll be recommended here to the board.
Okay.
We'll ask them to see.
Okay. Great. Questions for Brian? All right. Thank you, Brian. Anybody in the general audience to speak to this application? Anybody in the audience speak to that? State your name, please.
My name is John E. Hansen. I reside at 19532 North Curtis Second Street, Camden Township. And I'm opposed to this cannabis application. I've been a resident of Hamden Township for 76 years, minus the 2 years I was in the United States Army, and I'm simply opposed to it.
Any questions for John?
I was just wondering, where did you say you live?
19532, 232nd Street.
Okay.
Approximately 2.5 miles from the site.
Okay.
Approximately.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anybody else in the audience to speak to this application?
Hi, my name is Emma Gillespie. I'm just concerned. You know, I'm against it. And just for the, I respect that they want their individual thing. My husband and I moved here from Phoenix, and we went to the country to get away from the chaos and all this stuff. And I'm more concerned about my property. What's it going to do? We brought a farmhouse. We've redone it. We've made it so that way a young couple can come one day and purchase it. We have put root stuff on it. We've done everything so that way when somebody can enjoy it as we do. And I, you know, I'm originally from Michigan, so when I go back to Michigan, it is all over. And the odor does concern me too, because when you go, it smells like skunks. We have skunks anyways where we live. But, you know, I have a little bit of concern with that. And what is it going to do? Because in reality, it's a small town. People know that stuff is there. Will we get more people coming in? We're pretty free living at our house without locking up, doing stuff. I don't want to say that because now people know, but it's a really laid-back area. And that's my fear. What is it going to do for us living there? I don't want to have to live like I live in Phoenix. And, I get it. Marijuana is legal. You know, I've seen it. We've seen it in Phoenix. We've seen it in Michigan. But that's really my concern. And I know that it's going to be grandfathered in. If I'm correct, that house, even if they move, am I correct that the next person that moves there could do the same thing, or am I wrong on that?
You're correct. Yep. Okay. Conditional use permit follows the property.
That's my concern, too. Who will be moving in next? We don't even know them. You know, they've lived there for 2 years, and we pretty much know everybody. So that is just my concern. And, you know, and I want to thank you guys, because the last meeting I came to, that was my first meeting I've ever been to, and it almost was my last, because they were so unprofessional, and one of the gentlemen up there was cussing like a sailor, and I didn't appreciate it. I come to have my voice heard, and that was so disrespectful. So I appreciate that you guys are a little different. So that's my concern.
So where is yours at compared
to
yours?
We're about a mile and a half from there. 2459090
Is that south or north or?
Southwest.
Yeah.
Southwest. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Any questions for? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience to speak to this application?
My name is Leilani Dalen, and I live at 19226 County Highway 12. And I'm just going to say I'm totally opposed to it. I'm also worried about my value of my property that I have. So, any questions for me?
Thank you very much, Leilani.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience speak to this application?
Hi. I'm Elvin Worling. I live about 2 miles straight west on 12, 17543 County Highway 12. And I was born and raised there, and we never had to put up with that stuff then. Why should we have to now? And I'm totally opposed to it.
All right, any questions for him? All right, thank you. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hi, my name is Renee Koski. I live about a mile northwest in the same section as this land is, and I am totally opposed to it also. Why does the approval stay with the land forever?
Because that's how conditional use permits are set up. It goes with the property.
So it doesn't matter whoever moves there.
Right. But if conditions aren't followed, it can be taken away.
Okay, so this permit is for what was stated. It can never expand?
Correct.
Can it go into public?
No.
Use at all? Unless they reapply?
Right, they would have to reapply for a retail type permit.
Okay.
And they have to apply for with the state for a retail to get retail approval. We don't approve those. Like I say, we approve where a conditional use permit can go. Does it fit the area and our criteria?
Okay.
We don't regulate is it legal or not. We don't, you know, We don't get to choose that Minnesota has it or not and that it can be grown legally, right? Mm-hmm. But we're just, with the conditional use permits, where do they go and does it meet the criteria of where we let businesses go? So.
Is this medicinal, recreational, or doesn't it matter?
It does not matter because it's legal in the state. Okay. So.
Okay, again, I'm concerned about land prices because of this being in our area. And like the others have stated, additional traffic, possibly.
The traffic isn't as big an issue because these are wholesale locations, not retail.
Right. And once they again, find out,
and there's security. There. And like I say, this is a whole new issue in the county that there's a lot of stuff we're all figuring out as we
Democratic,
go.
Democratic, yeah.
Right. It's law, so it is what it is. We're here to deal with it. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
I should just have one question about conditional use permits, though, Kyle. Do they need to like have the business in order, like if they would start it and business goes away, does that conditional use permit stay there forever if there's no business?
The only rule is if there it needs to be implemented within 2 years. There's nothing about discontinuing it.
So once it's implemented within 2 years, then it stays forever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, just in time. We'll let all the other anybody else from the audience speak before. And yes, I will let you come back up and speak. So. All right. Anybody else speak to this application? Please step forward.
So my name is Mary Hansen. John Hansen is my husband, and we rent the land right across the road, Ellie Hansen Farms, from O'Connell. It's listed under O'Connell's name. He lives in Montana, and we rent that property there and farm that. And so we farm that in a section to the south off of 13, and we live just off of 13. And I just feel like we don't need to encourage cannabis. I know it's a moral issue, and it's something that, it's like a lot of things in this world that have changed over the years, that all of a sudden we're accepting all these things, that it's a moral issue. And when there's enough problems with it, just like smoking or alcohol, all the millions of dollars that we spend on our taxes every year to try to get people to quit smoking and quit alcohol and Alcoholics Anonymous and gambling. I mean, these are all moral problems, and we just need to stand up sometimes and say, no, this isn't going to happen in our community. We don't want it in our community. And sometimes it's just because we don't want it, and no other really good reason, except that we're trying to keep our grandchildren and our lives fairly healthy. And there's enough drug with meth and all kinds of stuff going on. And to just have a place that's growing it right in your backyard is tough. So that's, you have any question?
Any questions for me? Thank you. Anybody else to speak to this application?
My name is Roger Boyce. I live out in Wolf Lake Township. And there might have been a time in my life when I wouldn't have been opposed to this, as long as I can smell it from cooking from my kitchen window. But that was 54 years ago, and I was halfway around the world fighting a war. But I'm a lot smarter now than I was. And I get how it works. The state pressures the county, the county pressures the townships, and I'm aware of what's gone on. And on that note, I'm a township supervisor, and I'm opposed to any pressure on townships for this to go through. And on a personal note, I'm raising grandchildren in Becker County. And with all the state mandates that are around, I think they have enough to confuse them right now without anything worse like is going on. I mean, they got boys playing sports on a girls'
sports teams and Tempex machines in the boys' locker rooms. And I just hope we don't all grow up to regret this someday. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Good evening. My name is Dave Koski. I live right across to the northwest, as my wife said. I can see their proposed project for my pasture, and I read it online. I've got questions. I've got many questions. I don't believe that the traffic is, they're going to have a problem with traffic. There's going to be sightseers like, you know how that goes. It wasn't too long ago that kind of stuff was, what was it called, a narcotic? I don't think that we want anything to do with this stuff. It sounds so good, but I'm against it. And now we're in our early 70s, and one of these days we're going to have to probably sell. And the biggest thing as I'm concerned with is the value of our property and the neighbors. Is this going to have a bearing on that? There's a lot of people who want to move out of the big city. They have a lot of experience with that, probably that kind of stuff. So at this time, I cannot support something like that. Thank you.
Any questions for David? All right, thank you. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hello, council members. My name is Michael Mond. I own Sundog Hydroponics here in Detroit Lakes, and I'm here to speak for Ryan and really the cannabis community in general. Most of the problems that I hear from neighbors, distant neighbors, is, you know, smells and things, and they just don't want it because it's the word marijuana. And the truth is that cannabis has been growing in Becker County for years now. As far as hemp goes, there's been a lot of CBD grown in Becker County that people have been driving by it, you know, every day, and you don't necessarily even know it's there. And that's kind of the way I think it's going to be with this, is it's going to be a greenhouse out in the middle of a field that nobody's going to know except the neighbors and the people that showed up here that it's there, and nobody's visiting it daily. There's no traffic to a cultivation facility. And it's, you know, the state has already put 130 some pages of legislation and rules and regulations on what needs to happen, and moving his cultivation site 60 feet or whatever it is within his boundary, his property lines, doesn't seem like it's going to make that big a difference overall on any neighbors. There's no neighbors that are even close enough that are probably even going to ever smell it. I just wanted to kind of be the voice of reason and the voice of education for, you know, the cannabis community. And, you know, just hearing I was born in, and it's just, you know, libertarians, and it was wrong, and we don't want it just because it's the word marijuana. When in fact, they probably won't have any interaction with indoor. It's a gated and fenced area that has more cameras on it than most prisons do. And so anybody that shows up there, he has to have a 30-minute response action plan set for any problems that happens on the property. And so being that, you know, we don't want anybody getting involved, or we don't want sightseers, there's nothing to sightsee. Everything's in a greenhouse, it's behind fences, back on the property. It just seems that it'd be something that the state and the community as a whole basically would stand behind, you know, other options, you know, are, you know, having it up front where people can see it, which, like right now, I know I drive by fields of cannabis every day, and, you know, they didn't necessarily even know that they're there because they're behind a little fence or behind the trees or whatever, but they're all legal, and they're all, you know, they've been doing it for years here in, for CBD. So I just wanted to speak up on behalf of Ryan and his plan that I don't think that it will affect that community hardly at all, noticeably anyway.
All right, any questions for Michael? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Anybody else to speak to this application?
Can I talk against that?
No. Anybody else to speak to this application? Does anybody have any questions for Brian, the applicant? What?
He did want to come back.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify.
Please step forward.
Just to clarify some stuff about the perpetuity of the conditional use permit. That may stay with the land, but the licensing from the OCM, which is extremely difficult to get, does not. That stays with us. And so we have 18 months from when they issued our stuff to finalize everything, and then we, like, that license goes with us. So if we move, or we move the facility, or we decide to shut down, like, nobody else can just come in and open something up. They could apply for licensing, go through all the steps, and build something else again, and do all that kind of stuff. So even though the conditional use permit's perpetual, like, the business is not. That's ours. The LLC, everything, that goes with us. So they would have to start all over and do all the stuff again. And the other concern is, so like with housing values, like of course we want to sell our house eventually and retire and that kind of stuff. Housing values are based on how much houses in the area sell for, not whether or not there's a business or a fence or a pole barn on that property. So the only thing people look at, unless somebody tells them, hey, like, there's a farm across the street, or hey, there's a crematorium down the street, or hey, there's a business over here. Like, it has nothing, no bearing on value in the house. So as far as that goes, like, that's our concern too. Like, we own a house there, and we own that property too. We don't want to devalue that. That wouldn't make any sense in the long run for us either. So just to clarify and hopefully alleviate some of that concern.
Right. Thank you, Brian.
I have a question for you, Brian. The building, they don't look very big.
So they're very small. This whole area is 60 by 70, and
right.
It's all temporary buildings, no permit buildings.
How many? And it's all enclosed.
It's all enclosed in a hoop house behind a fence.
How many plants are you anticipating?
Less than 300. Like, so with a... with a medical license right now, you can grow approximately, one person without licensing oversight can grow approximately 6% of what our profit is. We are micro, we are very small. If we do anything beyond like a second hoop house of this size, beyond like 500-600 plants, we have already discussed moving and getting a property and putting something, because we do live there and we are extremely concerned about security stuff. We have a very robust security system and a lot of alarm systems, and we have upgraded we're going to upgrade our home alarm system. And so, like, these, we live there, like, these are concerns of ours too. And so the idea is that very small, and if we do decide to expand, because it does work out well, and cannabis businesses do well in Minnesota, then we will absolutely look at, you know, purchasing land somewhere, moving somewhere to expand. We are not looking to grow as much as we can in our back property. Like, that just doesn't, it's not feasible for us. Like, that's not a good idea for us either. So.
Yeah, Brian, I got a question. Being this is wholesale, not retail, can you speak to the traffic in and out of there? I know that was a concern I heard.
Yep, so wholesale is only business to business. We have to have a licensed courier come pick up. So it will be scheduled, and you're talking
most courier packages. So it's one-time deal, and then they go. And so we're approximating maybe 10 or 15, max 20 pickups a year. So that is a vehicle, like a normal car or van, pulls up once they're there, they sign some paperwork, they take a box, put it in their trunk, they drive away. There's no retail sales, there's no extra, like OCM may come do an inspection, it's gonna be two guys in a vehicle showing up. We don't have any employees, it's just us. There's no need for any traffic.
All right, any other questions for Brian? Thank you, Brian. All right, Kyle, aside from the letters we received, any other written testimony that come in afterwards?
No, sir.
All right, with that, we will close testimony and open up to discussion and deliberation of the board.
I really don't think we can act on this, because these changes won't be till after we decide with this, and the other is that it's at a variance.
Mr. Chair, it just would have to be stipulated that the setbacks are met. I don't want to table this again. It's one of the, we had the same conversation at the Board of Adjustments. It's the chicken and the egg conversation. We've done this more than one time.
So just put that as a stipulation.
100%.
Must meet the setbacks, whatever they are.
Yes.
And if they don't, they have to go to the Board of Adjustments to get a variance.
And what was their reasoning for tabling it? This change coming?
Clarification. They didn't know about the change in the case. It's not relevant, honestly.
Look, it is.
But we've had campgrounds come here that give variances to non-flip for density. They're not going to implement it if it were to be approved here, and it's not going to be implemented until they meet all the criteria.
Any other discussion?
Well, it's legal with the state, and I know it's. I'm looking at a lot of people that I. Good people. I know that that's not what they want to hear. But the fact of the matter is whether you like it or not, it is something legal. It's both like a liquor store or whatever else. It is legal. So then it's about location. And you can't build a doghouse with someone else not wanting it in their backyard. If you were to try and pick a place to grow anything, I don't know where do you kick it to the next guy to get to the next guy. It's in a place where it's surrounded by fields or wetland that you can't build on. And the fields get covered with manure, plowed, harvested, kicked up dust. It's, as far as meeting criterias, and then there's also the setback that has to be dealt with, obviously. But as far as a location goes, and nobody wants it in their backyard, and I get that 100%. But as far as having a greenhouse in a location or in a farm community, it's in the backyard. It's only two people.
And whether we approve it or not approve it, we have to consider the 7 criteria to meet a conditional use permit. And that's the situation we're in. We're not here to.
Yes, right. We're trying to meet that criteria.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have ordinances to follow. It's not a moral thing that we're looking at it as, whether we like it or dislike it.
It's a greenhouse in the backyard.
It's a greenhouse in a backyard. You know, we've had people that have come before us to liquor distilleries, right, on their properties and different things. it's not a lot different. It's legal. It's, you know.
Yep. A lot of people don't like the idea of it.
Right.
Struggled with it themselves, maybe.
Yep.
But
it is all true. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. That's the question.
Right.
So has the township weighed in on this?
Yeah, one of them spoke tonight.
Yeah.
He was from Wolf Lake, he said.
Yeah. Oh, Alvin.
Elman's from.
Elman's.
Yeah.
Okay. So has, can I ask him that? Has the rest of your township board, where are they at?
I'm on the board.
Did it go to them?
Every application goes to them.
Oh, right. I get what you're saying.
So they come up and spoke, but they did not submit a letter from the town.
Yes. That's what I'm asking.
Right.
It's basically the moral dilemma.
How are we going to deny it? What are we going to deny it on? How would we deny it?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. We have to look at one of them seven criteria.
Right.
Which of those seven criteria, if we're going to deny it, are we denying it based on? You know, right now we have the setbacks that are, you know, a possible hurdle that they have to go over, but that's not one of the seven criteria. That's one of the things that we'll, you know, they'll have to meet, but that's not for here.
Did the last one too?
When I was out there and looked, I walked around and we talked.
The one over
basically, that greenhouse, you aren't probably even going to be able to see it from the highway because there's their houses there, there's trees there, and you probably wouldn't even know it if you drove by. So it's not something that's going to draw people to come and look at. It's nothing like that. It's a crop. And they raise it inside of a greenhouse, just like you would do with flowers, and you know, except the part that it's cannabis, and that's right now, you know, everything we hear is legal in Minnesota. So,
all right. Any other further discussion? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
How do I not vote?
I'll start.
What the stipulation for the
meeting the setbacks? All right, we got a motion by Tom to approve the application as presented with the addition of meeting the setback criteria.
I'll second.
All right, we got a second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Okay, the next item we have, zoning ordinance amendments. I just want to make a note, number 2 and number 3 will be tabled until our following meeting. DNR has some comments and I haven't received them yet. So we'll focus on number 1, which is requirements regulating cannabis. Remaining setback. Zoning Ordinance Advisory Committee met earlier in the month of April and recommended the use of setback from 1,000 feet from a school, 500 feet from a church, daycare, library, or residence on an adjacent property, 500 feet from a residential treatment facility, 500 feet from a park, playground, or athletic field. They recommended to reduce that to 100 feet from any property line or road right away. Requirement applies to any part of the cannabis business except parking. Those do not or apply to retail. So it'd be for cultivation, manufacture, wholesale. And then the second item they recommended was that all of the waste material shall not be incinerated.
I just have to say something, and I have to say it to the Wolf Lake Township, because when I spoke to them about this, I was not under the understanding that this was for retail, so I just want to admit that I was wrong. So I just wanted to note that publicly. And with that being said, I do want to note that I don't agree with removing the setbacks for the retail for those criteria. I just want to make that note. For the 1,000 feet from school, 500 feet from church, 500 feet from residential facility, 500 feet from park, for retail, I think that those are appropriate.
But no, this says accept retail.
So what the advisory committee said is similar to a liquor store, right? Does a liquor store have special setbacks? No. So they said, well, why are we going to apply them here?
So this does pertain...
But that's retail. This isn't.
This doesn't pertain to...
Retail would only follow normal setbacks.
Of any other...
If it was new construction, if it was existing construction, then the business would go in there with a conditional use permit from you.
And that is different than the state, correct?
No.
No?
The state doesn't have setbacks. The state said you can go up to a certain footage. The state does not mandate us to have a setback.
Okay. All right, we're going to let the people from the audience speak and then we'll have discussion. So, anybody from the audience who would like to speak to this application? Anybody from the audience?
Do they understand what it is?
Yeah, they would have received it. We have people still sitting here, so I didn't know if others wanted to speak to the ordinance change or not. So, all right, if not, it's discussion of the board.
I do have two written that I don't think you received because we received them today.
Okay.
The first is, it says, in regards to zoning at Two Inlet Store, there might be some confusion on this or whatnot, so bear with me, but because Two Inlet Store is not asking for it to my knowledge. But St. Mary's is a very close proximity to the store. The following are problems you would expect to see if recreational cannabis sold at the Two Inlet Store. Our sacred worship spaces, including our grotto, cemetery, walking rosary, and statuary, exist outside of the church buildings. These are long-standing worship spaces for our community. People encroaching in these spaces to use cannabis and potentially vandalize these places would be almost impossible to prevent. We've been good neighbors to the store owners. They freely use both our parking lots for their customers. This would inevitably bring their cannabis customers onto our property. Given the decline of properties elsewhere in the country where recreational cannabis has been sold, we respectfully ask that you do not allow the Two Inlet Store to be zoned for sales of recreational cannabis regarding Margaret Sharp.
And I think for that, Kyle, is probably in anticipation of that they could, because the church is directly across from the Two Inlet Store. That would be my guess.
Good afternoon, my name is Susan Walters and I live at 31395 Two Inlets Drive. I oppose any loosening of setback restrictions concerning cannabis sales. Setbacks should be the same as firearms by schools or daycares, which is 1,000 feet. The bar that could sell cannabis is right across the street from St. Mary's Church, approximately 300 feet door to door. Also, there are many children in the area, especially in the summer. My concern is that parishioners of St. Mary's and residents of Two Inlets also have also sent emails that weren't received. I know our priest, Father Joe Richard, was very concerned. Thank you for considering this email. I want to thank, I hope it's a compliment to the staff members. So, that one was from, Susan Walters.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. All right, back to discussion. Steve, you had something?
Yeah, I guess besides the idea of how alcohol, whatever restrictions, and it sounds like there aren't any, where they can put a liquor store?
No, I mean, the county doesn't have any particular setbacks for a liquor store, say 1,000 feet from anywhere or anything like that.
Okay.
For instance, Two Inlet Store has one across from the church.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So what other reasons did they have to change?
I would say probably one of the biggest ones is the side yard setback is probably the biggest one. When you have a 500 foot setback from a piece of property, there was conversation in the beginning that we wanted these in more urban areas, you don't put one of these in an urban area if your setbacks are 500 feet, because you're looking at an eighth of a mile from a property line on the side. Well, that's a quarter mile wide, so you're looking at a minimum of 40-acre piece of property. So that's one of them. By reducing these setbacks, I'm not going to say people are going to go to town, but it would allow them, because in this case, they can't go to town.
So then it ends up going to the Board of Adjustments then for anything
right.
That would be inside of that.
Don't cities still have their own ordinances that they have to follow? Do they have to follow?
Yes, but I should say closer to town where you're going to get,
okay.
You know.
But didn't we also have that discussion at another time that it was suggested in the state thing, rules, not rules, suggested that they were in industrial parks because of the security issues?
That's not for retail. That's for...
That's for the growing.
The growing. Yeah.
Well, with a 500-foot setback, they'd never be in an industrial area because there's no such thing as a 40-acre industrial parcel.
But is there an industrial parcel off in the county? Isn't that generally a city thing? And it would follow there.
We have some. In Osage, we have some. We have some at S.J. Rhombus. But again, you're not going to get a 40-acre. You know what I mean? So that's their point. Whether or not anybody agrees with it, that's the idea.
They're looking at it more from a standpoint. It's legal like alcohol, and basically putting the same requirements of what that falls, which isn't, I mean, a little more restrictive with 100 feet from a property line.
Yes.
No.
But that is the mindset behind it. Is
right.
It's a legal drug like alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're different, but that's the way they propose this. Whether you agree or not.
You're talking about like if they were going to sell a, it's going to sound really dumb, but like a pack of weed where they're selling, currently selling a pack of cigarettes and a 12 pack at like a convenience store.
But we aren't dealing, this isn't dealing with the, what
this is.
This is,
okay, this is strictly growing.
Yes.
There will,
but this isn't.
That
it is, but
that
you
there
can
will
make an
be
exception.
No setbacks.
I mean, you're free to act on this however you want. If you want to recommend something different, you can. I'm going to take both of them and say, well, this was the first recommendation. There's the second recommendation. So you don't have to agree with these. If you want to say, well, we think it should apply to retail as well, you know, or we think cold. Wholesale and cultivation should be less, but retail should be more. You're welcome to do that.
So some of the things where, like a property line, if it's out in the middle of nowhere, where 500 feet is a long ways away, but at the same time, I don't want it reduced if it's like, if there's a daycare and a church, it's hard to want to look at that and say that number should be smaller, I feel. But I do feel like if it's just in a regular, in a rural setting, 500 feet is aggressive. That's a long way.
That's what I said, when you get 500 feet on both sides, you're almost a quarter mile wide.
Yep.
Are you talking about for growing?
Right. Yeah. So as far as that setback goes, I don't think it should have to be 500 feet from a property line, but I don't want to reduce it from
what you can say is you would reduce it to 100 for the other three and keep the current setback to retail.
I think as far as the growing is what we're talking about here, you need a...
I don't think growing is the concern of most people, though, because
retail
is where the kids are... That's where they're anticipating they will get. When you... Like the gentleman mentioned earlier, the security provisions or whatever in a grow facility out in Hamden Township, I mean, the likelihood of a kid getting it there versus the likelihood of a kid getting it within the city of Audubon or Detroit Lakes is much higher, right?
Yeah.
So that's where those...
But what I was going to ask is, if somebody has to have a greenhouse, and we're talking about the location of that greenhouse, then it's a pretty large area that they're going to have to own... And so it almost prohibits them from being in town. So it forces them to be out in the country somewhere.
Near these people, yeah.
Pardon?
Near these folks, yes. That's kind of what the idea was when it's saying, well, you're restricting people to putting them in certain areas and not allowing them to be.
So if they're establishing a greenhouse out in the country, then I would say that it should be more than 100 feet from the school. There's probably no school. It's close enough to Audubon or anywhere else that's going to
hit. And the schools would be in town.
Sure, that'd have a 100-foot setback anyways, because you couldn't get that.
Yeah.
And then towns would be followed.
Right, right. Your town would be full of that anyways. So
and they follow the town.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 100 feet would squeeze them out.
I'm gonna try and help you out, because I know what the feeling of this planning commission was when we first looked at this and we tried to make the setback larger. So, and we were told we couldn't. So I think the consensus is here for retail, we'll leave them as is, and that's your suggestion, right? Because previously you wanted to make them larger. So let's leave them as is.
Okay,
that's one portion. And then when we look at the growing of it, what is a number in your mind?
Yeah, and that's where that 100 feet from a property line comes into play.
Right.
And that's, so Steve, just for clear, so where they put in that except retail?
Yeah.
Basically, you'd strike that. So the retail would follow 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then item 1 would be the wholesale or the growing wholesale requirement. Right.
Yep. And which.
And that's 100 foot.
That's the 100 foot.
That's what they're proposing, which I would agree with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's more realistic. I think eliminating any setbacks on the retail. It was not how we felt when we talked about this before. So
right.
I don't, for us to get there, I think we...
You haven't changed your mind.
No.
So that's what I was just trying
right.
to...
So I think... So yeah, for clarity. And then the cannabis waste material shall be not be incinerated, which was something we asked on that last application anyway. So yeah, I agree, Kyle. I think the striking of the except retail...
But then you have to add it back in.
I got it.
Yeah.
You just tell me what you want for growing, right. And I got it.
Okay.
I don't.
Then for the growing, then I would say move to
the
100 foot. Yep. And then to also have to where you cannot burn your waste.
Yep.
What was this? We brought this up at the meeting. What did that mean?
Veterans' preference.
I'd make that motion.
So we got a motion by Tommy to.
I'll second it.
All right, well, let me clarify it first for the record, since we're being recorded. So that setback cannabis business retail will be subject to the following setbacks: 1,000 feet from a school, 2, 500 feet from a church, daycare, library, or residence and adjacent property, 3, 500 feet from a residential treatment facility, and 4, 500 feet. From a park, playland, and athletic field. Wholesale will require a 100-foot setback from any property line or road right-of-way. This requirement applies to any part of the cannabis business except parking.
Retail.
No, retail is separate from wholesale.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. Right. Separate. So that's why I struck that in the beginning. So, okay. And then... Approving the addition of cannabis waste material shall not be incinerated. Does that sound correct, Tommy?
Yeah.
All right. And who is the second?
I vote.
Second by Kim. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed, raise your hand.
It should be farther.
Motion carried.
I'm still abstaining.
And you abstain, right?
Yes.
That's statute.
All right. And proposals 2 and 3 were tabled, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
And a motion by Tommy. Was it second down there? Or, I mean, Tom. Second by Harvey. All those in favor, raise your hand. Meeting adjourned. They get
not easy. They're more obvious.
I have a question.
Sure.
So on the foam application that was tabled, yep. Are we going to get notified when that's going to happen? Because I didn't get notification on the first one.
Well, so the notification goes out to a certain distance.
I'm right next door.
Well, that makes it.
I'm right next door.
Here, I can. You want to see if you're on the mailing list?
Yes, please.
So,
are you in Grace's place?
So that we kept it for the other side. That was,
I'm on the other side, because so this pump trust is going to be right in the
we're
middle.
On our way
because our house is like 20 feet from the property line, and they walk to the south. Yes. And then Marina is right next door to the
where do I get copies of that?
So it's on but I went through this.
The idea is once the
crack. Yeah, that's the recommendation. So it's supposed to be in an industrial zone. And that's where they want it. Or that's where they suggest.
You might have 30 issues.
I know. Well, how did you know that?
What
did you say that? That was really.
I read it somewhere.
Yeah, probably in this.
They do come up with some line and somebody bigger is going to buy them off. And they're going to.
I don't know if this is the latest version. It's like.
Okay, Manoma's going to have to take it.
So we
can find
out some other big company that. There's going to be some
industrial part or whatever.